Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Kind of looking forward to having a chat with Bill DeWitt III tomorrow. He just met with Pope Leo at the Vatican, gave the Pope a Cardinals jersey. The Pope admitted his father, despite Pope Leo being a White Sox fan, his father was a Cardinals fan. So Mr. DeWitt's going to share that story tomorrow at 3:18 on the program. We're getting real close to Evolution Festival this weekend. I'm very excited. Can't wait to see Sam Fender on Saturday night. Also, there's a band called His Lordship, which I'm kind of into right now, and James Walburn, who is lead guitarist and singer in that band. He's also lead guitarist for Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders, is going to join us on Friday with Jeff Jarrett from Contemporary Productions as we get closer to Evolution Festival. Okay, so not that it was too difficult, Sue, you were gone, but I did make the solid prediction, which was at even money, that Jimmy Kimmel would cry. That was one thing I was certain of last night, and of course it happened.
It's important to me as a human, and that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man.
I don't think there's anything funny about it.
Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make. For those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way.
So he did say some nice things about Charlie Kirk's widow.
Erica Kirk forgave the man who shot her husband. She forgave him. That is an example we should follow.
Yeah.
If you believe in the teachings of Jesus, as I do, there it was. That's it. A selfless act of grace, forgiveness from a grieving widow. It touched me deeply. And I hope it touches many. And if there's anything we should take from this tragedy to carry forward, I hope it can be that and not this.
So I'd like to believe his statements. It wasn't really an apology. The problem is that Jimmy Kimmel has been mean-spirited. It's kind of like Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden got a pass on how mean-spirited he was on a regular basis. He was just Uncle Joe, you know, hey, you know, slap on the back. See, Kimmel has been so mean-spirited and evil over the years. We've played the audio. He's been featured in Audio Cut of the Day, and it's nasty. It's not, you know, they're not political funny jokes. That's the thing. He's up there on his soapbox. He's got every right to do that, right? Colbert has created a niche for himself, and Kimmel decided that was, he didn't used to do this. He used to try to be funny. I think he was funny. I don't agree with President Trump that he's got no talent. You know, everybody's got no talent. Curtis Houck is with us from Newsbusters, and I want your thoughts on what happened last night, the way that this whole thing has spun out of control in the last week or so. How are you, Curtis Houck, managing editor of Newsbusters?
Good to be with you, my friend. Absolutely. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's the victim. He's the victim here, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he acted like a guy who was caught, you know. This was so predictable that he was going to cry, that he would talk about how he's a Christian. He was going to basically pull a Hillary Clinton and say that I'm sorry you feel that way about what I said. I mean, this is just so pathetic. And, of course, he did not admit that he was wrong. He you listen in the clip there, he talks about this being a deeply disturbed individual.
Yeah, he could have. There
really
was a window
ideology.
Right there. Yeah, there was a window where he could have said, I misrepresented this in my monologue that created this blank storm. Because he
correct.
Did. And that's, you know, and then he makes a crack the following night, and then they pulled him off a week ago, right around this time, a week ago tonight. Now, you know, we didn't have him on the air here in St. Louis, Curtis. Sinclair owns the station here. I don't know how
we
this is
either.
Gonna, yeah, no. So, you know, I don't know how this is gonna work out in the long term, because this probably gave him, they're already bragging about, you know, YouTube streams that hit a record high. There's no doubt this was going to draw a lot of attention, and in the end, it probably did help Jimmy Kimmel. But there's no way you can convince me that if you watch his show on a regular basis, you're not going to see the same nastiness, misrepresentations. I mean, some of the things that you guys have put out, when you keep track of the amount of guests that may have even leaned slightly to the right, it's about 5% of Kimmel's guests over the years, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been tracking late-night guests and jokes on the comedy show since our Alex Christie took over the beat for us in September of 2022, and we have found the political guests, 61 liberal Democrats and two on the right, but they're really the same person, Mike Lindell. And as for political jokes, 92% of political jokes were targeting the right. So think about this. Even when Joe Biden came into office, I believe it was still something about 80 or 90% of the jokes in Biden's first 100 days about politics were about Trump, you know, the guy that who was not president anymore versus the guy who was president. And Kimmel to do this Christian thing particularly irks me, Mark, because this is a guy who has said Sarah Palin's the HPV of American politics. He has said Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz are like chlamydia and AIDS. I mean, and then there's a whole bunch of things I'm not going to share on a family show that is just, it's so repugnant out there. He also referred to people who did not take the COVID vaccine as wheezy, suggesting that if push came to shove, those who came in with a heart attack and
they,
were vaccinated,
they should die.
Those people should get a bed versus those who didn't. Rest in peace, Wheezy, was what he said. There's still people who remember that, as you just did, and the people that are upset about that. But that doesn't matter. The left is still holding him up as this martyr. Like, he's a public servant, as Brian Seltzer said last night. He's an educator about free speech. Reminder, none of us have a right to our platforms. None of us have a right to a show. We just have a right to our opinions. And again, the First Amendment has to do with the government, not private employers.
I love some of the reactions. So let's get into, because this kind of plays into what happened, unfortunately, today with this ICE attack down in Dallas, right? So here's J.D. Vance. This is something.
Because here's what happens when Democrats like Gavin Newsom did say that these people are part of an authoritarian government. When the left-wing media lies about what they're doing, when they lie about who they're arresting, when they lie about the actual job of law enforcement, what they're doing is encouraging crazy people to go and commit violence. You don't have to agree with my immigration policies. You don't have to agree with Donald Trump's immigration policies. But if your political rhetoric encourages violence against our law enforcement, you can go straight to hell and you have no place in the political conversation of the United States of America.
I don't know. Was it you guys that put the super cut up? Because I just played half of this before. I can play a little bit more here.
And kidnapping and disappearing people on the streets of the United States.
But this terror campaign of having masked people rolling up in vans, but we also have to talk about the agents themselves that are carrying this out.
So this goes on and on. They use this word disappeared, of course, in their rhetoric, and they act shocked when something like this happens.
My colleague Bill DiAgostino has a separate one out there that, I mean, he pulled it together in maybe an hour of different MSNBC clips recently. This J.D. Vance, first of all, the leadership that he showed in that clip, that is exactly right. That is the forcefulness that you want in a political leader. And how he prefaced it by saying, you don't have to like my policies, you don't have to like the president's policies. And that's totally fine. You can say we should do these deportations a different way. But when you say that people are the enemy and they're Gestapo and so on and so forth, and you're not recognizing the threats to law enforcement and the idea of doxing, you know, the technology that we have now, facial recognition, you know, is really a thing that not just governments are using, groups are able to use as well. People are going to be threatened and whatnot. you know, I mean, the left is completely unmoored from reality here, and yet they're demanding that we on the right are the ones who need to, tone it down.
Well, like,
we need to look ourselves in the mirror.
Here's one of my favorites. This has got to be, and I hate to even give her any attention, but I will hear Hillary.
I include myself. We have got to stop demonizing each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I think most of that right now in our country's history is coming, you know, from the right, coming from people who want to dominate. They want their point of view. We have got to stop with the finger pointing and the scapegoating. We can have legitimate disagreements. Facts and evidence have to matter again. And then we can start having good debates.
Are you kidding me? Are you that she's the source for that messaging? I can't actually believe that she said myself included, because herself should be included. I mean, she started this with something pretty, you know, when the deplorables, that's mild compared to what we get now with being called Nazis, the Gestapo, authoritarians, fascists, you name it. That's not coming from the right. What is the language that is coming from the right that is inflammatory right now? And I don't remember seeing, you know, riots in the streets of St. Louis or in Chicago and elsewhere after the Charlie Kirk situation. There was none of that, right? So where's the rhetoric, the inflamed rhetoric on our side? There are people that say stupid things sometimes, but you can't even begin to compare it, Curtis, and you know that.
Right, exactly. And I mean, Charlie, unfortunately, in one of his final days, in one of his final tweets, shared the results of a poll done by Rutgers and a few other consortium of groups that found 55% of left of center young people, respondents, said that they could see violence against President Trump be justified. And there was some other polling out there as well that was going into this. And you had a third of people in YouGov in the first couple of days after the assassination who believed that the suspect was going to have found to have been MAGA. So for Hillary Clinton to come out there and say, oh, no, the right needs to get a hold of it here. Even Lauren Powell Jobs of The Atlantic came out and said, man, the left now is, I mean, kind of out of control now. Now they're trying to both sides it, of course, Mark. They have that qualifier there. But the reality, but the thesis, the first part of their statements is concluding that the violent left is on the rise. That is an issue. We have Luigi Mangione. We have the Charlie Kirk assassination. And now we have any number of these ICE incidents. Put it all together, and it is not a pretty picture of the left.
The church
in the way that and the way we treat each other. I mean, it is so pathetic. But of course, the left in the liberal media in particular believe that, you know, they have a job to tell the rest of us what to do, when all we are asking a lot of the time is for the media to lead. And we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. They just need to say, we haven't always gotten this right.
Have you seen anyone?
Let
me ask this question. I'll segue into something. Have you seen, Curtis, anyone try to ask Kamala a tough question about the election? Here she is. She's still confused about how she lost and why she lost.
I really did not fully embrace the reality of how people felt. And I should have. I will confess to you, I do not have all the answers, Joanne.
Yeah.
I mean, part of my reflection is that I don't have all the answers.
Well, it's not that complicated, and they even had to remind her on CNN last night, people do not like her.
Now, down under she goes. She's at minus 13 points. That's an 8-point drop since the general election. The American people, they don't want this. They don't want her.
Who's going to buy her book? I mean, she's getting more attention from our side, unfortunately, than she is, I think, on her own side. I'm not sure who would buy the book, but she's pretty clueless, and she's not very self-aware, is she?
Yeah, no one likes her. Former Joe Biden aide Michael LaRosa, Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, and I mean a lot of progressives even as well have come out and said, okay, this is one thing we all agree on, that like Kamala is completely clueless and canned. Jesse Waters had a supercut that just in the View interview, the Maddow interview, and the GMA interview with Michael Strahan, that she basically said the same thing in each of the interviews,
word for word. Yeah.
And what's interesting is, in the case of some of these interviews, like Strahan's, they'll start with a good question, being like, why did you not say anything about this with Biden? Why, you know, what was your reaction to him calling you? You know, what kind of things do you think you did wrong in the race? They might be half decent, but then when she starts to wander, they do not interject, and they kind of let her go on this tangent. That was in particular, like, what did you do wrong was one of the ones about Strahan. Some people have said you're not taking any responsibility for your actions. She goes on this long thing about Donald Trump being an authoritarian. And this is why she picks amateurs or dum-dums like The View or, yeah, again, people that aren't prepared like Strahan to do these interviews because they know.
Well, they're in friendly territory. Right, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see, boy, I'd love to see Megyn Kelly do an interview with Kamala Harris, or even if you know, look, if how about Brett Baer? I mean, Brett Baer, I think would do a fair job of doing an interview with her. I wouldn't think that she'd go on Hannity or anything like that, but she won't even do something like that because she doesn't want to be faced with tough questions.
Anyone on News Nation, CBS's Tony DeCoppel, even I think could be interesting. You know, I might even be willing to give Savannah Guthrie or Craig Melvin a run for it on the Today Show. But the fact that she's retreating to the weakest of the weak, so to speak, just goes to show how clueless and adrift she is. By the way, side note for those that still have to some reason for work, apparently she did the audiobook for it as well.
I know. So I heard some of the, and she read, it's bad. It's not something you want to hear. News Nation, you mentioned them. They had some killer numbers after the Charlie Kirk Memorial. Maybe, you know, I've wondered about them and how they're surviving out there. I like some of what they do, but they had a pretty good ratings number the other night, I heard.
Yes, they did. And I have to say that, you know, this is exactly, this is their time for this. I feel, talking about rhetoric, how we need to be able to see each other as Americans, how we need to have all kinds of tough conversations and get to know each other, see each other as just human beings, and while also rigorously debating, because I think that is the lesson of the Charlie Kirk assassination here, that you can fiercely debate with somebody and not compromise your values, but still speak to someone in respect and truth and love. And News Nation does that quite well. I mean, there's an event coming up at the Kennedy Center with Bill O'Reilly, Stephen A. Smith, and Cuomo, I believe. You know, anytime you put the three of them together, it's been very, very interesting stuff over there.
That would be interesting. Bill, I had Bill on yesterday. He did not mention that. Curtis Hawkes, always great to have you on. I hope all is well, and we'll continue to track the media nonsense. You guys do a great job at Newsbusters.
Take care, my friend.
All
talk
right.
again soon.
We'll talk soon. We have coming up here, I mentioned there's a woman named Jessica LeMaster who reached out to me, who is a special education advocate in St. Charles County, and wrote an email that I got a couple of days ago that was just mind-boggling, some of the things that have happened to this young person in one of the school districts out there, and she's going to share that story at 5:32. We're going to get together a week from tomorrow night. A week from tomorrow is our final Protecting Your Retirement event at the Plaza Frontenac Hilton. Thomas Helbig will host that. He joins.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he was on with Annie yesterday, and Thomas Helbig has been nice enough to come back from the Retirement Advisory Group to talk about our event, which is going to take place a week from tomorrow at the St. Louis Plaza Frontenac Hilton, our final event of the year. Thomas Helbig, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I always get to this point in the year, and we do five of these, and I can't believe that here we are. We're sitting in mid-September. We're talking about an event which is going to be 2 weeks from a week from Thursday. Yeah, that's crazy.
October 2nd at 6:30 at the Frontenac Hilton. Folks, this is the last event of the year. If you're retired or thinking about retiring and you've been thinking about attending one of these events, sign up. You don't want to miss it. It's the last event of the year, and we're going to share some really good stuff. As you all know, markets are hitting all-time highs right now.
Right.
But at some point, we're going to hit a volatility. And what the scary thing is, you get all these highs and then you start giving money back. We're going to teach you a strategy at this event how to automatically lock in your gains without having to sell, folks. Because right now, when you're in the market, the only way you lock in a gain is by selling. And that creates a taxable event. I'm going to show you a strategy that's been around for 30-something years that allows you to automatically lock in your gains without having to sell. And that means you're never going to lose that. And you could continually build and build and build. And we're going to teach you this strategy.
Why don't more people teach that strategy?
Because Wall Street doesn't want you to know about the strategy because there's no fees in it. And that's what we're going to discuss also. And folks, how many of you out there who may be retired or nearing retirement do not have your own personalized structured income plan? That's so important, Mark. Everybody needs to have one of these. Because what we do, and we'll put this together for you free of charge, it will get base all your different investments you have.
Right.
When you have Social Security, if you have a pension, and it will actually tell you how much we're going to be able to generate income for you every month, every year, the rest of your life. And it's also going to show you how long your money will last. And everybody needs to know that, because a lot of people are sitting with their spouse wondering, honey, can we afford to retire right now?
Yeah,
this will put it into perspective.
Let me ask this question.
Sure.
Because like you used to be back in the day, you have $1 million in a retirement account. That seems like plenty money, right?
Right.
Is that the case today?
No.
No, it's not, right?
Because they used to have an old 4% rule Wall Street used. If you have 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds, you should be able to retire on 4% a year, and you could almost safely not run out of money.
Yeah.
That's been blown out the door number of times, because in 2022, we had a bond market collapsing and the stock market going down. You're losing money all the way around. 4% went out the room. So now Wall Street's saying, don't pull out more than 2 or 2.5. Folks, that's nothing. With the strategies we teach, when you're never going to lose any money, when you lock in your gains automatically, we're going to show you how to avoid fees. You can draw more income than you can if you just let your money ride in the market. We're going to teach this that Thursday night on October 2nd. So
okay.
Folks, sign up for this.
Yeah, it's a week from tomorrow. These are free events. We just need to know that you're coming, right?
Exactly. And the room is filling up fast because it's the last event of the year. You'll be there. Mark Cox will be there. Annie Fry will be there. Come and mingle. A lot of people get there 6:15 or so. We start at 6:30. I'm only going to talk for 45 minutes, folks. Don't miss this event.
Yeah,
Go to retirementkey.com to sign up.
What I said earlier this week is you're still going to catch the second quarter of the Thursday night football game. So don't worry about a big
time commitment, right? Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's awesome.
When's the football game start?
It's a 7:15 kickoff, but you get home in time for the second quarter. It's
absolutely
not going to be a big deal. And by the way, we should also mention that some people like this because it's a group setting. And by the way,
yes,
it's free. We just need the RSVP. But you can always go in one-on-one.
Absolutely. And that's what we'll offer you if you come to this event. You can always meet one-on-one. But if you attend this event, we're going to be able to put together your own personalized structured income plan free of charge for you, folks, if you attend this event. And we're going to show you how to be able to lock in your gains every year without having to sell, which creates a taxable event. And these are two important things we'll talk about.
RetirementKey.com. Get registered today. We'll see you next Thursday. Thank you, Thomas.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, do you know the name Leland Vittert?
No.
So he was Charlie Brennan's intern many, many years ago on Camel X. He was a Fox correspondent and reporter for a while. I think he might have even had his own weekend show. He's now a host at News Nation. And he's a St. Louis native. And I did not know this, but he is on, apparently Leland is on the autism spectrum. And he has written a book, and he's going to join us Friday night to talk about his brand new book. We're going to take you into the weekend that way. Tomorrow, Bill DeWitt III at 3:18. Dan Reardon's going to join us with a Ryder Cup preview at 5:30 tomorrow night. I heard from a listener earlier this week in an email that was quite disturbing about something that's happening in the Wentzville School District. And, you know, Sue, I've highlighted some of the nonsense that's gone on in Kirkwood comes to mind, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, and some of the other stuff. This one sounds kind of sad overall. Jessica LeMaster is with us. She's a certified special ed advocate in St. Charles County. We're going to try not to use the name of the student here because he's a minor. But Jessica, thanks for reaching out and thanks for coming on this evening on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
So some of the details in this email certainly caught my attention, but how would you start telling this story of this young man who also is a student that has some special ed and some disabilities, correct?
Yes. So he is a student with identified disabilities. He has an IEP and protections under IDEA, which is a federal law, and Section 504 and so forth. I've actually been contemplating all day how to fit everything into a short time.
There's a lot here. Well, we have a little time, but I know there's a lot to this story.
There is.
So where would you start?
Kind of like the beginning of how we got to where we are now.
Okay.
So I have been heavily involved since February when the initial start of everything took place. So in February, this student was arrested in school during actually a math test that he didn't get to complete. So he was arrested in front of his peers and held in juvie for over a month for what has been found as false allegations that has been proven.
What kind of allegations? Yeah. These were okay, assault or sexual assault allegations. We got to make sure that we're as specific as we can be.
Yes. So it was alleged sexual offense.
Yeah.
That the alleged offense apparently took place in October. So fast forward to February, that's when that arrest happened because of the alleged in October.
And then the alleged, just to be clear here, the alleged event did not happen at the school or during school hours, correct?
No. So so the process for special education is whenever there is a disciplinary incident or a student is removed from the education building, there's processes, which is a manifestation determination review meeting, mm-hmm. an MDR. So we actually had the MDR closely following the arrest, and it was ironic because we're in there and the district staff flat out says, well, this actually has nothing to do with school, so we can't say that this is due to the school not following his IEP or anything. But they did list it under the Safe School Act. So the district then imposed a 37-day suspension citing felony charges,
okay,
even though the alleged conduct had no connection to school or school policy. Under this law, the districts may suspend a student charged with a felony, but they are not required to, especially when a student poses no threat and the incident was off campus.
Right, but let me stop you right there because I know that there's questions about what was proven and what wasn't proven. I can certainly understand why if there's a serious allegation that's presented to me as an administrator in a school, and if I feel like bringing the student back into classes could potentially harm other students, then I'd probably want to do something about it.
Yes, you would.
But
the issue with it, we'll get to at the end.
Yes, yes, but there's a big but there, right, because the continue the story. We'll get to that part, I guess.
So there's also FERPA, which is a federal law that states even after... Okay, so there was a FERPA violation. So even after the court dismissed the case, the district refused to remove the disciplinary code from his educational record, despite the family's request through a FERPA hearing. The district claimed it accurately reflects the suspension occurred under the Safe School Act, but FERPA also protects against maintaining misleading or stigmatizing records.
Okay.
So then we also have been navigating issues with Title IX retaliation.
Before we get to that, let's go back to the case. You're claiming, I'm going to have to take your word on this, that the criminal case was dismissed and that the allegations were actually proven false?
Yes, by over 500 pages of evidence that supports it was false.
Okay, so when is the case dismissed? When was that? When did that happen?
That was in March.
Okay, in March. But your case to me in the email is, even though that happened and you have, you know, some questionable things that maybe were draped around this particular, you know, incident becoming an arrest and then, you know, juvie and all this other stuff, that in the aftermath of that, that this student has also been targeted for the accusations that were proven false.
Yes. Still to this day, like even as of Friday, this past Friday.
Being abused by other students, you're claiming?
So verbally harassed. And like this past Friday, there was an incident where I actually went and picked him up from school because he was he was in a class with another student who is a known student. The school knows that this student has been verbally harassing him consistently since the allegations. And there was a hot glue involved to where it melted his shirt. It was a big part of it. It melted his shirt to him. The district then, so what he did, he didn't hit him, nothing. He picked the student up and moved him out of his bubble, and he got 2 days of in-school suspension when the person that intentionally tried to burn him with the hot glue got 1 day of in-school suspension.
And you're claiming they didn't even send him to the nurse at the time as well after
they
that.
Did not, okay. Yes. And I asked staff that when I picked him up. Was he checked out by nurse or anything? And I was told no.
So what, you know, what's the end game? We reached out to the school district, to Wentzville. They did not respond. But obviously you have concerns here as an advocate that this kid's being, you know, still abused. He has, you know, disabilities already. He's been traumatized. The district has not shown as much concern as they should with safety. The only reason that resonates with me is I've seen this pattern happen in these school districts, and it's kind of amazing to me the way they double down on some of this stuff. But from the other perspective, people would say, well, wait a second here, Jessica, this sounds crazy. Why in the world would this happen if the kid's been, you know, proven that the allegations were false? Why wouldn't the school want to get involved and do something to protect him?
Well, that's why we're here, because that's my question. Like, and honestly, I would think on the outside looking in, if I didn't know what I know, or if I hadn't experienced across multiple districts the crazy experiences and issues that students and families face.
Oh, I know. I've covered some of them.
I would be like, you're
right.
Crazy.
So why do you think that happens? Because there's a process here. The lawyers get involved. The administrators get very nervous. Mm-hmm. They try to, you know, in some cases do the most politically correct thing. But is there something that fits that pattern? Because it's the exact opposite of what you might expect in a situation like this, especially involving students.
Yes. So what I believe, which doesn't make it factual, but what I think for why this happens the way it does consistently is because the districts want to save face. They want to save their face. They want to, even if they know they made a mistake or if they handled something wrong, it is easier just to stick with it and not admit to the mistake rather than correct it for everyone.
Which is so shocking when schools are involved. But I've seen this exist. I've seen this pattern, you know, and I mentioned Kirkwood. There was an incident from the last couple of years that I highlighted. A couple, actually. Well, listen, keep us posted on this. Again, I reached out to Wentzville. If there's another side to this story, I'm certainly open to hear about it. But you're at the point, where does this sit right now? You're still trying to get some attention and for the school district to act a little bit more responsibly in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, he's still being harassed, called a predator, a rapist, all of these things, and it's still continuing. Like, and districts aware of it. It's happening during school, during classes, and he still shows up every single day and tries to do his best. He's on extracurricular activities. his teammates held phones in his face, acting like they were recording, saying, hey, tell us what it's like to rape little girls. And coaches were right there, and they didn't stop not one player. They did not stop any of it.
That's mind-boggling, if true. It really is.
It is.
It's crazy.
And it's the ongoing harm of it. But not only that, his record. So high school, your transcript follows you, right? So it goes with you everywhere, whether it's for a job, post-secondary education, military, any of it. And they had the chance to correct it, his record and everything, and they refused.
So why are you the one taking point on this, Jessica? Where are the parents? Where is the student's parents?
So I am very, very close with the parents, and I'm speaking on behalf of them because of personal retaliation, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of how to word it, but the more attention they bring to it, the more retaliation they have experienced.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point in my life to where retaliate against me. That's okay.
Yeah. Well,
because what's best for the student is what's best for the student.
Well, keep us posted. It's kind of a crazy story. And, you know, these are the kind of stories that make me scratch my head and say, what am I missing here? So I feel like I'm almost missing a component, but we'll track down information if we can on our end, and you keep us posted, okay?
I will do that
right.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Zero tolerance law, to answer your question, that is actually what makes it possible for districts to continue it. I couldn't think of the name of it.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, so, this lady said we don't have no tolerance for it. Yeah, but that doesn't address the issue of coaches and other teachers and administrators getting involved when there's retaliation, right? Obviously, there should be zero tolerance for that as well. Jessica LeMaster, thank you. I appreciate it. About to head out of here at 6 o'clock, as I always do on my ride home. I take 44 West to 141, and I bring it up, Sue, because the last few nights I've been noticing a MoDOT sign that says 44 Westbound at 270 closing Friday at 10 p.m. I think it said until Monday at 5 a.m. Am I seeing that or reading that correctly?
That is absolutely correct. So that's all westbound 44 lanes at 270. Also, the ramp from northbound 270 to westbound 44. And even from westbound Watson to westbound 44. They're just shutting it all down. They've got to get some work done.
But it sounds like southbound 270. So
you're
because I'll be heading out in that direction and then coming back, I can still get home. Okay.
Yeah. They're all just trying to keep you off there. Westbound 44 at 270.
Well, as long as people know that it's happening, you can usually out the traffic mitigation, they call it.
Well,
right?
True. And they'll have signs up, but I'm the person who forgets, right? I'm driving around going,
Well, here's why this is important, too. Think about it, because the Cardinals aren't going to be here this weekend, but we do have Evolution Festival and some other events. And if people are coming down to Evolution Festival and trying to get home, maybe you're going to take 40. You have to take 40 if you live out in my neck of the woods and then just go over to 270 and one, you know, to get to 44 that way. But that's good information, certainly, for people to have. And we'll remind you as we head into the weekend here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, unfortunately, we had a terrible shooting this morning. It was right around 7 a.m. Central Time. And this is information from the FBI Director, Kash Patel, directly. An individual fired multiple rounds at a Dallas, Texas ICE facility. He killed one person, wounding several others, and then took his own life. FBI, DHS, ATF, all on the ground. Now, while the investigation is ongoing, you have a situation where Kash Patel is saying, look, we are working with all authorities here. And then he posts a picture of some of the bullets that were unspent, that still could have been used, that have anti-ICE phrases on them. One of them just literally said anti-ICE. Here's a roundup of what happened this morning.
I can confirm at this time that the FBI is investigating this incident as an act of targeted violence. From rounds that were found near the suspected shooter contain messages that are anti-ICE in nature.
We responded to the call, got to the scene, and we later learned that we had four individuals that were shot, two of them deceased, including the shooter.
No members of law enforcement were hurt during this attack.
I think that the takeaway from all of this is that the rhetoric has to stop. It's dangerous, and people are losing their lives.
Violence is wrong. Politically motivated violence is wrong. This
must stop.
Where is that rhetoric on ICE coming from? Let me think about it.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will of course be identified. This is not the 1930s.
Secret police who are masked, who are intimidating, who are scaring people. These Gestapo-like tactics.
This is Gestapo-like behavior.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets.
When you compare the old films of the Gestapo grabbing people off the streets of Poland, it does look like a Gestapo.
Over and over and over and over again, Gestapo, Nazi, fascist.
We got to stop it, we got to condemn it, and that starts, unfortunately, at the very top of the Democratic Party. If you want to stop political violence, stop attacking our law enforcement as the Gestapo. If you want to stop political violence, stop telling your supporters that everybody who disagrees with you is a Nazi. If you want to stop political violence, look in the mirror. That's the way that we stop political violence in this country, and we got to do it.
Now, we're 2 weeks from the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That was 2 weeks ago today. And you still have a fair number of people out there, because of people like Jimmy Kimmel and others, that believe that that shooter was a right-wing kook and not a left-wing kook. And then we've had two more examples of left-wing kooks, including today. But they'll spin it somehow in the other direction, I guarantee it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.